Word of God, word of life, eh, friends? Golly. Our gospel this morning has Jesus asking his followers, why do you not understand the signs in front of you? And it's appropriate that this question of signs and understanding follows on the heels of Jesus' declaration that he's bringing fire to the earth, fire that he wishes were already kindled, and that he's bringing not peace but division, division that will set even family members and households against one another. And this passage from Luke's gospel this morning might sound a little out of step with our image of who Jesus is, this idea that many of us carry around of a kind, loving, nice Jesus. You know, between our gospel reading from Luke and our reading from Jeremiah about God breaking the stone with the hammer, it might feel like God is just hanging out with their finger poised over the smite button, just waiting for an excuse. Really, Jesus? That's what you're bringing us this Sunday morning? This message of fire and division, as though we don't need more division poured out on our already polarized world and nation? But as much as our human conventions of judgment and punishment might invite us this morning to hear Jesus' fiery imagery as this sense of barely restrained divine retribution, how we understand Christ's message really depends on how we hear it in light of the rest of the message that Christ's life reveals in Scripture for us. Because through Christ, God has indeed given us signs in order to understand this gospel passage this morning. As Christians, we know of the signs of the cross and the empty tomb, God's ultimate symbols of compassion and forgiveness in the face of evil, of power over and beyond the forces of sin and death. As we hold this morning our tension of how Jesus' words in Luke align with our understanding of who Jesus is, of who God is, the cross is a striking reminder that Jesus did not humble himself and submit to suffering and death at the hands of authorities because he was trying to avoid being a bother. You know, niceness, politeness, obedience to Roman rule weren't what led Jesus up the hill to Golgotha. Jesus endured the cross as a sign of God's compassion, to reveal the scandalous grace and mercy of God who forgives and loves us even as we abuse and kill the presence of Christ among us. Jesus persisted in a ministry of transformation and justice that led to his death as a sign of God's faithfulness and commitment to opposing beliefs and systems and practices of oppression and abuse. And God rolled the stone away to show that the might of God isn't revealed in meeting violent force with an even greater show of violence, but that God's strength is found, the way of Christ is found, in breaking the chains of violence, creating more violence. These are the signs that God has given us to understand who God is, who we are as God's people, and they're the lens through which we are to hear and understand Christ's message for us this morning. And it can be helpful as we enter into this message of fire that Jesus is bringing to remember that fire is a multi-layered symbol. That yes, it can mean destruction and devastation. But fire is also, in Scripture, a symbol of the presence of God. A reminder of the possibility of change and transformation, purification and refinement. Rather than hearing Jesus' words this morning as a threat of fiery judgment and an encouragement to further divisiveness in our world and in our communities, I believe that what Jesus is telling his followers is a description of the natural result of the transforming work of the gospel at work in our lives and in our communities. Jesus might just be seeking to remind his disciples and us that the process of moving from sinfulness and brokenness in our lives and in our world towards the fulfillment of who God is calling us to be is one that happens incrementally rather than all at once as an immediate flip of the switch. A reminder for us that God's will unfolds gradually over time, which can be very valuable, I think, for us to remember in the midst of our culture that so heavily emphasizes immediate gratification and instant results, to remember that some things of value simply cannot be rushed. And it resonates with our experience that as much as we gather to proclaim God's victory over sin and death, we can't help but see the brokenness that continues to persist in ourselves and in the world around us. Like Jeremiah, we have our own modern examples of prophets who speak lies to the people, seeking to turn their hearts away from God towards whatever desire they happen to be selling. Leaders who support policies, systems, or ideologies that oppress vulnerable people. Like Paul, in his letter to the Hebrews, we could lift up our own examples from our time, where people have been subjected to torture, imprisonment, violent deaths, or persecution. And even in our own hearts, in our own lives, in the quiet stillness before we go to bed, I imagine that you friends like me find yourself grappling with the ways that you continue to struggle with the changes you feel God is trying to help you enter into in your own life. Grappling with the things we know we ought do that we don't, or the things we know we shouldn't do that we keep doing. It's apparent for us that we live in a world desperately in need of God's transforming and life-giving word and work. And although perhaps your results may vary, I've found in my own experience, that transformation doesn't take place like the instant flip of a light switch when we simply think the right thoughts or pray the right prayers. Perhaps it is the case, friends, that the whole life of Jesus is a sign for us and for the world that the way of Christ, the way of God, means to show up, to dwell with people who are in need, to walk with those who are suffering, to faithfully teach and guide those who are seeking wisdom, to role model compassion and mercy and humility and strength. And although philosophers and theologians might write books or debate about whether God could have done things differently or why we live in this world rather than a different one, we exist here and now, in this time and in this place, with the signs that have been given to us in order to understand who we are and how we are to be in this world. The wind is stirring. There might be rain on the horizon or just outside our walls, really. But we are the people of God, named for Jesus the Christ. And we have been called to be the body of Christ in our time and in our communities, living signs of the merciful compassion, the transformative justice, the peaceful disruption of the divine, so that we might continue to bear forth this ministry of Christ until the flames of the Holy Spirit kindle the life-giving renewal of God's love for all creation. Amen.